Hello and welcome to episode 69 of Jumping the Gamer. I'm joined by El Mundo, otherwise known as El Mundo's Retro Cave, which has been a highly requested episode. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, buddy. I'm good. Highly requested. I
Yeah.
very much doubt that.
No, you gotta give yourself some credit, mate. It's we see what you've got behind you and immediately get jealous. So it's obvious you'd be quite highly requested. If someone doesn't know who you are by some miracle, let them know who you are.
Well, I guess I'm on Monday. This is my retro cave, I guess, or my man cave. I only really call it the retro cave because I've got so many retro toys, bits and bobs, really. Been posting on this app for a while, had a couple of accounts banned, gone again, gone again, gone again. And here we are.
How did you go about getting banned twice?
Violations, violations, violations.
Have you found TikTok? Obviously, you're mentioning TikTok there. Have you found it tricky on TikTok?
As in,
Because I think we always get a thing about like the algorithm changes or like trends are changing and like rules are changing. Like you've said that you've had two accounts get blocked or like whatever.
yeah.
Have you come across a lot of back, not back, like pushback on your stuff?
No, not necessarily. I mean, the community, I'll be honest, I think my content's terrible. I cannot believe so many people seem to follow me. I don't understand what I'm doing, if I'm quite honest with you. We know violation, TikTok can be a pain, like you say, the algorithm is changing. I mean, one day last week, I got five violations in one day for videos that were, old videos that I posted a while ago. There was an on this day, there was a live highlights, there was all sorts that they were picking and changing. So I got a couple of violation points there, so this account might go as well. But we'll see.
That's mad, isn't it?
yeah yeah
Like, because I, first of all, can you hear that? If you can't hear, because there's a banging noise. Anyway, move on. Your content, though, you say you don't know what you do that makes people stay and watch you.
no no
What? How would you describe what you do?
It's just basically, I wouldn't necessarily class myself as a retro gamer or a retro gaming account, but that seems to be the community I've fallen into. For example, I just think I like my cool little man cave. And I like the old, hey, I've got this. Hey, I've got that. Look at this thing I've got. Hey, do you like this? And the things that seemed to pick up with early doors was like the arcade machine, because I did all this man cave lark. I didn't know what to do with it. Scared about being on camera. I didn't know. I was late to the TikTok party. I didn't know what was what. And the only thing that seemed to get views was me filming gaming trays on the arcade machine. So that's kind of where it really all started. It was just a, quick, here's a look around the room. Let's play some trendy music and what have you. And people say, oh, you've got an arcade machine. Have you got this? And then I'd upload another video. Have you got this? And it just kind of snowballed from there, really. And then I kind of moved on to, hey, I've got a retro games collection. Hey, I've got a pinball machine. Hey, I've got this, I've got that. I got an Itbox I've painstakingly put together, and it just kind of snowballed from there, really.
Where does it all come from, though? Like, where's your love for it come from? Is it a kid thing? I mean, obviously, most of us probably is a kid thing when we first come across our stuff as a youngster. But to actually
Yeah.
start collecting and have what you have in particular is quite a endeavor.
Some of it, I mean, not a lot of it is my original child stuff. I mean, it's basically my childhood, isn't it? That, I've got in here. And especially some of the stuff that's coming out now with the licensing and what have you, such as Back to the Future, favorite film. The amount of Back to the Future stuff you can get nowadays that you can get as a child is, unbelievable. Same as you think of the Funkos and everything and all those things you love, and they go back, and you can get Turtles and you can get Sonic and you can whatever, can't you? Basically. So yeah, I think it's just from the childhood and the love and missing that era, because everyone's chasing that nostalgia. That's what all us retro gamers are playing at, isn't it?
It is for sure, but I also wondered whether or not, because bringing it back to your content as well, I wonder whether or not having all the stuff around you has given you the impetus to go, you know what, I'm going to start sharing this. I know you said that someone said, oh, what was that? Or what's that? But are you starting to now look around the room and go, I can share that bit? I really enjoy that bit there. I'm going to share that. Are you finding
That's what
that now?
I, so problem we've got in the past, I've tried doing that, and the views don't hit. That's the trouble I've got. I'll put some effort in and do something good and it'll get 100 views. And you know what it's like. And you're like, oh, well, this video I posted yesterday about, let's say, taking a game off the shelf, opening the case and putting it in the console, that got 40,000 views. And that took me that took me literally 2 seconds after work. Quickly, I could do it, I could post it, job done. Or, I could spend an hour editing, getting me lines right, messing around, making the lighting look good, making sure I sound okay. And it'll get 100 views. And you think, well, why bother?
I've definitely had that though, because
Yeah.
I had this because, as you know, I have my old account. Well, you might not know, but my old
Yeah,
account
yeah.
a couple of different videos on it, and I'm a big like proponent of discussion. I like the, having chats and getting points of view and putting out. But I think of videos that have some sort of substance to them, whether or not it's a short video or a longer video. I try and engage people and
Yeah.
to have a chat, and that doesn't always do well in views
Yeah.
because it doesn't get pushed out as like this short form, quick fire, bang content. Whereas the
Yeah.
best video I ever had was it took me, what, 10 seconds to do. It was a little clip of a table, and then with some like not candles, like flowery bits on it, and then the
Yeah.
Rembrandt tea music. That's all it was, and it got 100,000 views. I'm like, this is ridiculous, but I guess it's just part and parcel of the system, really. What do you enjoy doing the most?
I think the lives I enjoy doing the most. I'm not a fan of filming myself, listening to my own voice, looking at myself. This gar my man cave is not soundproofed at all. So you sit outside, you can hear every word I'm saying. You can hear the spiders farting if you stand outside the door because it's not well insulated. So next door, or whoever's walking up and down past, can hear every word I say.
Now that would
So
get
that
views.
gives me, so that.
That would get
Yeah. So I think that hits my confidence a little bit where I feel like a bit of an ass. Whereas if you're in a house and it's sound and no one can hear you, it's just you and then you don't mind so much. And then if I'm trying to be, let's say, if I'm trying to be funny and trying to add a bit more personality to it, really, because that's essentially what TikTok is now. It's the personality of it. I mean, how many people can are opening Sonic and putting it in a Mega Drive and uploading it? How many people are going to sex? You know what I mean? Walking around and filming what they picked up and say unboxing videos. And some of them are faceless and it's just there's so many, isn't there? So it's just that twist, I think, that I need to put my personal thing on it. And that's what I tried a little bit with the recent videos, just to say, hey guys, do you remember blah 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 blah. And here's this. But again, it's just a game clip, Do you remember this game you liked? Here it is. But everyone seems to be doing that on TikTok.
That's why I'm with you there, because I don't famously need views. That's not what I'm on the app for. Obviously, if I do
Yeah.
get views, then great, like it is what it is. But I just generally like the stuff I'm looking at, and I would earnestly get bored if I did just the unboxing videos or the.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to dog on these. By all means, people do
No,
them
of course.
as much as you can, but I don't want to just do a video where I put a game off the shelf, open the box, and plug it in. Like,
What I'm saying.
I'll do them sometimes because
Yeah.
I'm actually going to play it or I'm actually looking at it. But I myself wouldn't enjoy that.
No.
So I'm not going to post it because, in my
Yeah.
head, if someone's looking at it and I'm not enjoying it, they're not going to enjoy it anyway.
Exactly.
It is, and I'm not going to get myself bored making content. There's just no point in me doing it then. If
That's the trouble.
I'm making thousands a month doing it, slightly different situation.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd happily do it, but I'm not doing it. I'm doing it for the fun of it, so it's a bit pointless.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's know about the games you play. What are your favorite go-tos? Do you game daily?
I game what I can. I mean, it's hectic. You work a full-time job. You've got two kids. You got the dog needs walking. The hoovering needs doing. You know what I mean? The kids, honestly, all I'm just dad's taxi at the moment, constantly. So I play now and again when I can. I'm playing Pro Evo at the moment. Latest Pro Evo, or the last Pro Evo. Sorry, what is it? 2020, 2021, whatever it could be. So I'm playing that a lot at the moment. I was playing that this morning, my Master League. I've played the Precinct I played recently, which was good, a platinum that. And I've played that Funko Fusion.
Okay.
And that's what I'm on. I mean, obviously I do play a hell of a lot of retro games. I got all the hardware. and a lot of the software, but I seem to emulate them more than I do actually play on the original hardware.
Why do you think that is?
It's because, well, there's patches, for example, it can make it look a little bit better. I mean, the stuff like RetroArch and what have you, and all the emulation is much easier to use. There's save points. You've not got to mess around with memory cards. Texture packs, for example, you can play. I played Liberty City Stories not long ago, and the picture was amazing. And it just brings it up. Plus, I have got a Retro Fighters controller, so you're not, messing around with an old clunky controller. You don't get the HD quality. So I think it's easier. Plus, I don't own a copy of, Liberty City Stories. So it's just easier for me that way, I think.
Because are you obviously you've got this wonderful cave that every person would love to have, me included, and please invite me. But are you not going out to collect stuff? Is that not what your goal is? Are you not collecting stuff like that?
Not necessarily. I mean, I do have a big shelf of games, and it's just games I enjoy, really. Just little bits and bobs. I'm not trying to build a little, a nice collection. You look at some of you guys, honestly, it's ridiculous. Jamie, JPS Darko comes to mind. Retro Sega's getting there now, isn't he? Now, he's broadening out. He had an amazing Mega Drive collection, but now he's got his more space. He's, starting to feel that. Tom.
I'm taking credit for that, by the way, because he came on the podcast and saw my Mega Drive collection behind me and was like, I've got to get more. I've got to get more.
You think a retro
Revival.
revival? Unbelievable. So I'm not necessarily, plus I don't have the space. That's the thing. And I didn't want this just to be, I could feel this with retro games and that's the end of it. But that's not the be all and end all. So, sometimes I just like to sit and watch football. Sometimes I want a game of darts. Some, you know what I mean? Some, I play pinball. I didn't want it just to be the, I can just go in the garage and retro game. I wanted that more of that pub vibe, that pub feel to it, with a little bit in the corner that I can sit and play my retro games on.
Because what were some of your go-to like consoles or systems as a kid? Were you a Master Systems kid? Were you a Mega Drive kid? Were you what was your like go-to?
Well, I started, my first console was like some cheap, it was like some knockoff Pong machine, like TV sport game thing. I think Supernad Simon shared it. He sent me a message. I can't remember what it was. And I was like, oh yeah, that was my first console that we had from next door. My dad had from next door for a fiver. Then he brought home a Commodore 64 and played that a lot. Then I was Mega Drive, sorry, Master System, Mega Drive, N64, PS2, and so on and so forth. So I was a Sega guy really when I was a kid.
I was going to say, because if you've gone the 64 route, a lot of people that I know didn't do that with the PS1 route. So it's still fascinates me that the N64 was that big at the time. Because then, what were some of the games that you remember from that time?
Sonic 1 comes to mind on the Master System. I mean, N64 wise, some of the, I mean, 1080 snowboarding was amazing. Mario 64 was just mind blown. GoldenEye, I mean, unreal, some of them games. Even Diddy Kong Racing was an amazing, great game. It was just, I preferred the titles that were the Nintendo exclusives. And it's kind of the same when as the generations have gone on. Like, I'll only really, if I'm playing a Nintendo, it's normally a Nintendo exclusive, for example, like a Zelda. Because I think the third party games are better on the Xbox or the PlayStation, aren't they? Rather than being ported. They seem to be, everything seems to be ported, doesn't it? To a Switch or to a Wii or to a Wii U. And so, yeah, it's mainly been exclusive games on the Nintendos.
So what I like about what you've sort of alluded to there is you obviously love the retro feel of things and preserving it, and I can see some of your consoles there and whatnot. But you're not afraid to say it's not realistic sometimes. You need to access some of these games, emulate them, go and buy the remasters, go and play the new ones. I think that's quite a good message, really, because not everyone can have, like you said there, the space to have this stuff. And by God, some of it's quite expensive, isn't it?
Oh, some of it's ridiculous. I mean, luckily, I don't necessarily go looking. There's nothing in particular. There's one. I've got one Holy Grail that I want, but which will never happen. But otherwise, I just collect little bits and bobs here and there. I speak. Jamie will text quite often, or the guys will text and say, "Look, oh, I've got this bundle. I'm going to go trade it in. These are swaps, so I'm going to go trade it into CEX. Anyone want them for cheap?" And it'll be like, "Yeah, okay, I'll have some of them. What do you want?" And they just go on the shelf. Such as I had a collection of Xbox games from JPS Darko like a month ago, really. And there was just a few Rockstar games. There was Leisure Suit Larry, which is funny and controversial, and have people remember it, and so on and so forth. And State of Emergency. So it's just a few little gems that I'm sneaking in here and there when they're available. But I'm not necessarily hunting for anything.
Because that was my next point, was I actually have a bit of a take on, because we're reaching a part of a curve now where so many people collect. It's like a big thing now, isn't it? It's one of those new crazes. But people are wondering, like, how is a CEX going to continue, or like what's happening to game stores and stuff. I actually think there's not a bad thing on horizon whereby so many of us have so many games that, like JPS is doing, like Retro Revival's doing, and a few things. As long as we can maintain the communities, like a TikTok, like a Instagram, whatever, on the social communities, the little communities here and there, as long as they can still maintain themselves, people start sharing with each other, and
Yeah, of course.
that'll keep it away from the quote unquote scalpers or having to use the CEX too much, and it'll make it okay for everybody. So I'm not actually too concerned about that, because I'd more than happily go on to, I mean, it was Vinted for a little while, but I'd hit up JPS, I'd hit up Atomic, someone like that. And trade with them. I mean, Yorkshire Gamers doing trades right now to get its platinums.
Yeah, he had
That
three of
to me is
mine.
far more interesting to trade with someone I know it's going to go to a good home. It's not going to go and sit in a CEX store and get dust on it. Like, it's going somewhere decent, and the price
Yeah.
won't change too much. So I hope
Yeah.
that stays the same.
There is exactly that. I mean, you see some people that do it for a living. I mean, Jamie, you mentioned then, who's the new guy that I love? Retro Gaming Addict.
Oh, yeah.
So they're doing it for their collection, aren't they? That's what they're doing. They're buying this, they're selling that, they're comparing the CEX prices, and they're making their money so they can buy this next thing they want and that next thing they want, which I think is quite cool. But when it comes to, like you say, oh shit, what was I going to say? You're gonna have to cut this bit, Marv.
Your brain just does what my brain does. It just switches off. I get it.
Yeah, switched off.
Completely get
What?
it. Yeah. We were just obviously chatting about the whole avoiding price rises and scalpers and, maintaining that whole system between us sort of thing. Because
I've gone
what
blank.
Retro Gaming Addict does, which I think is genius, just while he sort of collects up a little bit, is okay, yeah, he's doing it for himself because obviously he's making money to then buy new stuff. But it kind of keeps his, and I'm kind of speaking for him now, but it keeps his collection the same sort of size. He's not overdoing himself. He's not taking up too much space, quite literally. But also, he's
Yeah.
making good content out of it. And I think that's a really clever idea.
Yeah. And it's good content as well. He always makes me laugh. He's so funny. He's so, I don't know. He's just so good. I think he might be one of my favorite creators on here at the minute. And it's baffling that some of you guys, some of the smaller accounts don't have more followers.
I know. I
Baffling.
mean, have you seen, well, I'll give a quick shout out to, is Sean's Nerd Gaming Corner.
No, I've not.
My point, he's rapidly getting up to 1,000. He started about literally a month ago.
Yeah.
And he's just an awesome, wholesome fellow that loves his content. He's just got a knack for it.
Yeah.
And he's, going to hit that 1,000 mark pretty sharpish. But the fact that he's not going to, he should be on 2,000 already. He should be. You should know who he is my point. These people should be thrown out there. Like, I did a video with Relzy, and he was saying that, like, the content you make doesn't even go to your followers sometimes. It gets lost in the massive For You page. And it's a shame, because if your followers aren't seeing it, what's the point?
Exactly.
Good creators that you like said there that are quote unquote smaller don't get seen, not because it's their fault, it's because they're not getting pushed in the right positions.
No, and it's a frustration, isn't it? Especially with TikTok. I mean, you put all the hashtags on there, you put retro games on there, and it gets pushed out to 8, 14-year-old girls who are only interested in dances and what have you. Then what are we playing at? Why bother adding the hashtags? Why, you know what I mean? Why do all those things that TikTok tell us we need to do to please their algorithm and and to grow, and it doesn't work. I can definitely see the frustration, and it amazes me how some people keep going and going and going and going. Sometimes you look at some pages and they're churning out 4 videos a day, and they're only getting 300 views on each video, and you think, Christ, man, that's soul destroying. But how you then the next day there's another video up, and they got a big smile, and it's well edited, and they've put the effort in, they've done this, they're showing off this cool thing. And you think, why are more people seeing this?
And then you get told that there's a threshold and that they're actually posting too much.
Yeah, exactly. Then you
It's
get
hard, it's
shadow
ridiculous,
banned,
isn't it?
and yeah,
You
it completely is. And I don't, this is where it's, this is with me, why I, where I struggle with, I don't, I'm not necessarily got a huge amount of following, but I've certainly got a lot more followers than, you know, some of the guys that deserve it. And I think that gives me a bit of a like imposter syndrome kind of thing. That's where I kind of shy away from it. And I think, why are people, what are you following me for? My content's terrible, especially when some of the guys are churning them out, churning out quality stuff, and they're not hitting them, and they can keep going and going and going.
Do you never give imposter syndrome is something we can chat about, I suppose, but do you never give yourself those small moments of self-credit though? Not saying you're arrogant about it and say, oh, I'm amazing, but do you never sit there and go, I must be doing something right?
I'm a glass half empty kind of guy, so, because I know the well, there is success. I've been, like you say, you have big videos. I've had videos. I remember my first video to hit 1 million views, and I was like, "Oh my God, I'm the man!" And you know, it goes on for a week. The follow grows. I think I gained 1,000 followers, which isn't necessarily a lot, but one video. And you think, "Christ, I've made it. Let's do that again." And then like, "Oh, the next one's, like I say, 200 views." You know, okay. Maybe I'm not that special, then get back in your box, mate. Jesus Christ. What you know, that's the humbling side of TikTok, isn't it? And
It is.
posting stuff.
And I think we're probably quite similar in a sense of we might have different goals, maybe we can get to that later, but I don't really care, frankly. I'm posting what I like, and if people like it, great. If I don't, I don't. So I don't really care if it gets X amount of views and everything. But that what I'm going to call balance keeps me balanced. It doesn't make me angry if I don't get enough views, or I'm not going to get sad about it because I know that in the long run it's just going to average out. But I feel like you got that same approach where you just post what you're gonna post because you enjoy it, and then if it doesn't
Yeah.
work, well, then you don't get too high and too low, basically, is the message there.
That's a th the problem is there isn't much difference between the high and the low for me. Especially now, especially, you know, if one does get a million, I'm not too arsed. Plus, people aren't hitting the follow button nowadays, are they? It's awful trying to grow. Like, it was nice to hear Retro Sagan, was it the last episode you had, saying you can't grow like you could. He said, I'm lucky that I joined when I did, and everyone was hitting the follow button, and we were absolutely laughing. And it's nice to hear the bigger creators that do have those big followings,
Yeah.
you know, it's telling the little guys that it's difficult nowadays. I'm a lucky boy to have what I have, and you know, keep cracking on.
And the other thing there to extend that is I can't remember who said it. It might be Retro Hub or someone, but I might try and find it. But basically, they were saying once you get the creator fund, the 10,000 and the creator fund, you can post a video and it gets X amount of views versus having 100,000 foot. Might be Retro Sega, 100,000 views. 100,000 followers or 10,000 followers is exactly the same. You don't get any more or any less money or revenue or stretch or pull. If you have 10,000 followers or 100,000 followers, the same video will do exactly the same. It won't make a difference. And I think that's quite eye opening that because people that think, oh, create a fund, yay. It's like the Twitch affiliate program. It makes no difference. It makes no difference whatsoever. You need outside influences, sponsorships, marketing, brand deals. Like that's where the money is if you go for that route. And that anyone can get that in
Yeah,
terms
oh,
of
definitely.
what I mean by that is not anyone can get it. What I mean by that is you could have 1,000 people follow you or 10,000, but brands pick certain people. Doesn't matter what follow count you have.
No, exactly. And I think, and it makes no difference. It makes following absolutely makes no difference. Some people might notice you, such as a brand, let's say, you know, Ross Retro Sega, 120,000 followers or something like that. That might catch the odd company's eye, and he might get a Hey mate, can I, if we send you one of these, can you promote TikTok shop stuff or what? You know, a company might come and say, "Hey, I've got an arcade. Do you want to play this for 2 weeks and promote it on my video?" That kind of stuff. When you get to that sort of level, but views wise, it makes no difference whatsoever, unless you're astronomical, unless you're in like the 9, 10 millions, and you're really up there, and everyone knows your face as soon as you pop up on the FYP. But otherwise, I mean, it makes no difference. I started another account recently, and my with zero followers, first video was 100,000 views, and it wasn't retro gaming. It wasn't. I just made this quick video, pumped it out, and it went bang. And you know, I post a similar video on the retro gaming account, and it'll get 100 views, and no one's interested. So it's baffling. People need to stop worrying about their follower account, especially the guys that are doing amazing stuff. There's so many small in the context of followings, creators on TikTok doing amazing things that, you know, don't have the following they deserve, I don't think.
That's partly why I do what I do, because I'm
Yeah.
like, if the quality is there, I'll share it because it's quality. Whether it's 10, 20, 1,000 people, like it's a quality content page. So that's good. Let's go into the second bit. So I've got bits to ask you about later about your stuff, which I'm quite keen to do. But our second portion is hot takes and solid debates. Now, have you got anything that's game related that's a hot take?
I've got a couple actually. I thought of one this morning because I've been listening. I was like, oh, I've got to come up with something. So I've come up with two, and we'll stick with that. One is I couldn't give a shit about 60 FPS. I don't care. People seem to really, really, really care about 60 FPS or 120 FPS. Especially Grand Theft Auto 6 at the moment, aren't they? It's going, oh, it's not going to be as. I couldn't, honestly, mate, I couldn't give a flying fuck. I could not give a flying fuck. I cannot see the difference. It doesn't affect, it's not going to affect the gameplay. It's not, it's still going to be a quality product, I'd imagine, because we've been waiting 100 years or whatever. I don't think it's that deep. I don't get it. I can't see the difference. I can't, but I think my problem is either my eyes are getting old. I'm old. I've grown up with playing, you know, on a SCART, on a CRT. I just can't see the difference. I can't see the fuss, the crisp. I can't see that between the 30 and the 60. Or I can, but I don't think there's enough there for it to be a big deal that everyone loses their shit about because Grand Theft Auto 6 won't have it.
And plus, there's not enough games that need it.
Oh.
If you know what I mean? Like, there's so many games that I'd rather have a mechanic slightly changed to work better than
Exactly.
that. So I'm completely behind what you're saying.
Yeah. That and the other one, the GTA remastered weren't that bad. People need to stop bitching. It was good. I enjoyed
You can't read it, but I'm going to show the camera. So on my note,
them.
I do a note for like all the episodes, right? That
Yeah.
line, you can't see it because the writer's pads, but that thing there saying anything with the word definitive in it sucks. I think if you do a definitive, like the Mafia definitive editions are fine,
Yeah.
they've taken out the sort of aesthetic, gritty, like niche of them. The GTA ones offend me. Because they're like Wind Waker done bad. They're also like streamlined and bland and everything. So,
Yeah.
yeah, okay.
Well, I get that the thing is, yeah, Wind Waker is a good comparison. I get that, but I think from playing the originals, the step up to the current technology wasn't too bad. I don't think it was horrific. I think they're playable. It's nice and crisp. It doesn't have the feel that it did on the PS2 when it came out, and we all went to the midnight launches and we lost our minds. But I think for the technology we've got, and it was just a quick, it's not like it was, you know, they spent hundreds of millions or billions of dollars on, you know, getting these versions up to GTA 5 standards or anything like that. It was just a nice little, you know, little refresh. This is quite playable on these consoles now. Out you go. Here's free games for what was it? 80 quid, 60 quid, something like that. So I don't think it was too bad, and I don't think they hyped it up like it was going to be the dog's bollocks. So I think to give it a little bit of an extra shine and tidy up a few bits and bobs.
Literally has got shine. The
Yes.
shine is quite palpable. Yeah.
But I don't think it deserves the hate in these. I've played all three of them again. I thought it was easy enough, you know. It wasn't any great, there wasn't any groundbreaking stuff in there, I didn't think. But I don't think there was any game breaking stuff in there.
Where do you sit on like remasters and definitive editions full stop? Are we getting too many? Is that not enough? Should there be more of them?
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. It's far too many. Everything doesn't need a remaster. We've played those games. We can still play those games again. And like I say, especially with emulation, you buy a texture pack, or sorry, you download a texture pack, depending on what emulator you're using. It looks pretty crisp as it is.
Because my brain says there's a few titles that are remakes or masters that, like the Tony Hawk's ones in particular, are fantastic. I think that they're the best example you can ever have. But there's so many that are shallow because you can still access them, like you just said there. There's so many ways of doing it. And I think of the Legacy of Kain remasters recently, decent, but I still rather play the old ones, personally.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I think. Because Retro Sega was making the point that are we reaching the point where there's too many games now that the curve is sort of hitting where how many new ideas can you have? I
Well, that's true.
get that
Yeah.
argument, but at the same time, it's like Clair Obscur came out and it was a turn-based fighter, basically. I mean, obviously that's really making a really low bar. It's obviously a fabulous game. That's yeah, is what it is. But the main thing about that was you could dodge.
Yeah.
How simple is that?
Yeah, exactly.
And so that minor thing made that game another level above alone. Obviously, Bob, on top of that, you then got the great animations and the way it looks and the story's epic and everything. I get all that. But in terms of gameplay, all it needed was a dodge button.
Yeah.
Is not, so that sort of innovation should still be available to people. I don't get why it needs to be a complete, like, revolutionary thing. No, just make it simple. It should be different.
That's what annoys me. The problem we've got now is that the games aren't made for people, especially not my age. They're not marketing games to me. Maybe the remasters, like I actually play in Tony Hawk's last night when I got in from work on the Xbox. And it is good fun. And it is good. They were always good fun. And I thought they were quite cool. But yeah, some of them is just not required. And the problem we've got is, I think, nowadays, everyone's chasing that Fortnite model, aren't they? That's what the big game developers are going. They're not going, oh, Elmundo wants a great story. You know, Marv wants loves this. Let's make it. They couldn't give two shits. They want the Fortnite model where they can sell your skins and everyone jumps on and it's amazingly. You know, that's my son is who they're marketing to. Nowadays, there aren't those. That's the great thing. Such as people are still releasing games for. Like Mega Drive, aren't they? And there's studios, Tanglewood, there's just to name a one. There's a farming simulator. Did Holly bought farming simulator for the Mega Drive or something? Did she? Did I see? So I think that's where I sit at the moment. I'm not necessarily going to get sucked in by remasters. I wouldn't have paid money for Tony Hawk's if it wasn't on Game Pass. And I love the game. I've got the originals on the shelf. So, but yeah, I think. And you mentioned with Mike and Dylan, that about the generation failing as well. I completely agree. Because it just seems to be they keep churning out the same old crap. And if there are good games, I'm sure there are many good games. And I've played loads of good games. But if there are good games, they aren't don't seem to be the ones that get the headlines and get out there. They're not the ones, for example, the streamers are playing. Because the comp because EA have given, I don't know, random streamer. That speed kid, they've given him, you know, 10 grand to play FIFA for the next 2 weeks. Or, you know, that's not what the gaming magazines or the gaming pages or Xbox are reporting on. We don't seem to, I don't feel like it's, because we haven't got gaming magazines anymore, have we? We used to get reviews of everything and people haven't necessarily got times, you know, there's nowhere to find that information unless you're looking for it. I don't think nowadays.
And in terms of the generational thing, like you sort of said it there, but I said that because what's the PS5 now? 4 years old? 5 years old?
Something like that,
Yes. And I, the podcast, Carp64, who, if you have no idea who that is, people, go and watch them. One of the biggest in America. The two lads that are just
really.
lovely and wholesome, and they love their video games. It's brilliant. Please come on here. But basically, they were saying that one of the hot takes on their thing was that this generation's been great. And he was like, some of the games have been amazing, and you know, and it sounded good until he said that there was like four or five games that he mentioned that were really, really epic, brilliant. But then the next four or five he mentioned were to come. They weren't even.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're already half a decade into this generation. How have you
Yeah.
only named four games? Like,
Exactly.
you can't judge a book based on what hasn't come out yet. That's literally judging by its cover, how it looks. Oh, G
Exactly.
I mean, it's a bad example, but GTA 6 looks great on the outside. There's no guarantee it is great, though.
No, but I
That
hope
can't
it
count for
is.
the current generation's stock because it hasn't had.
No, exactly. No, exactly. And yeah, and the trouble is, if you say there's four coming, they could all end up being, cyberpunk disasters, couldn't they? There's nothing to say these are going to be, generational. Again, this is going to make or break the console. The trouble I've got is, I think we were spoiled with the PS2, possibly, or that generation, or the generations before us, because they were churning out quality games nearly every week. I remember going to work getting paid weekly. I'd go buy two games a day. Oh, sorry. Yeah, two games a payday. And they're all great games. There's hardly any stinkers. And I think nowadays we're expecting too much. Like I say, it needs to be 60 FPS, doesn't it? It needs to be online. There needs to be microtransactions. They need to tease a DLC. And if the kids aren't picking up on it and people aren't posting about it, then that kind of gets lost, doesn't it? Unless it flies out the. Unless it flies out the stable, or you've had a great social media campaign, or whatever it may be, then we don't necessarily hear about those kind of games, such as The Precinct, for example. I never heard of The Precinct, and Dylan mentioned it. I looked on PS Plus. I think it was only 20 quid, and that's a great little game that I'd necessarily would if it wasn't for TikTok and all of this and people sharing it. I can't remember if it's TikTok or text. But anyway, Dylan said, and I loved it.
But that goes back to the old, and I sound like an old man right now, but it goes back to the old playground argument. Back to the
Yeah.
magazine times and the playgrounds. Your friend bought a game that they'd seen.
Yeah, exactly.
Never heard of it before. They started
Yeah.
talking about it. It sounded like the best thing since sliced bread, so you went out and bought it or tried it.
Yeah.
And that hype was then real because it was something you'd never seen before. Whereas now, because
Yes.
it's so overexposed and that you said social media campaigns, there's like all these teasers and trailers and everything that have
Yeah.
been a really different like take on the game itself before it comes out. You
Yeah.
expect much already, then all you can be is disappointed, or you can pick holes in it.
That's the thing,
But
isn't
some of the best games that have come out in the last decade, Among Us, Phasmophobia, I mean, I've, games, all these different other games, Dead by Daylight, these games that you didn't actually know a lot about,
Yeah.
but good games.
Yeah,
One
that's
of
a.
the best games I've played the last decade, no word of a lie, is called Pigs and Bacon or something like that, or something and Bacon. Basically, you play as, well, okay, sharks and divers. Basically, it's a
Right.
team deathmatch game between sharks and divers. The
Right.
divers are trying to get treasure and loot at the bottom of the sea and kill each other. And or you can be a shark and go around trying to kill them.
Right,
It
yeah.
costs like £3 on Steam, but it's amazing because
Yeah.
it's a game at the heart of it. It's something that you've never seen before, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. And again, with the playground, when we were younger, or when I was younger, how old are you, sorry?
I'm 35.
Oh, okay. A little bit younger than me.
I feel 45, but I am 35.
Okay, well, I'm early to mid-40s. But like you say about on the playground, you're going to your mate's house and playing it, aren't you? You're going, they've been lent a game off your cousin. Why don't we try this? My older brother's got this game. Let's try this game. Whereas nowadays, it definitely, unless you see it on your social medias, then it's not reported on the news. We haven't got Bad Influence. We haven't got Games Master. We haven't got, all the other different games we used to get home from school and watch. And so I think that's where a lot of them get lost. I'm lucky enough, so I rent my PS5 and Xbox One games. Oh, is it Xbox One, this current generation? Xbox Series. I'll rent them online. So you need to pick 10 in your list, and it will send you like the next available when you've got so many discs or so. So that's quite nice to discover games, because there's some, oh, that looks all right. Okay, I'll pop that in there to, bump it up to the 10. that one arrives, such as Funko Fusion did, and it was unbelievable. And I played it to death, and I've platinumed it. So I am. That's where I seem to find my new gaming content, because once a AAA title comes out, everyone talks about it, and that's where you see it, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I could spew nonsense for hours on that, because I think there's so much missing from the. We have so much at our fingertips now, but there's so much still missing. Like the ability to miss is missing. Like you said about your older brother having it, so you only had it at the weekends, or
Yeah, exactly.
your friend would have the game, you couldn't afford it, or didn't it wasn't available for you, so you could only play it around theirs. So it made
Yeah.
you had to wait and anticipate and do.
Exactly. And then you've got to wait till Christmas. You can buy the magazines, you see the posters,
Yeah.
you're talking to your mates on the playground, and it's just not there anymore, is it?
Okay. So we'll move on then to coaches questions. My chance to ask three, four, four, depending on time, of my now infamous questions on page, the guests in front of me and see their reaction. Now, question one is, what is something that you're convinced you have that no one else does?
Convinced.
Is there anything in that little man cave? I say little. That's a
Possibly.
wrong phrase.
Can I show you? Shall I show you a couple of Funkos?
Go for it, mate.
Actually, I've got one Funko. I'm convinced. Other people do have them, obviously, but I've never seen them. I've got to climb up here now, Marv.
I love it, mate. I love it. Did we have to delve into that collection somewhere, didn't we? Are you literally on your desk right now?
Sorry?
Were you literally on your desk just then?
I was standing on the bar.
Yeah. Yeah,
So this is one of the, I've got a few cool things, but that is one of my, I'm not sure if you can see that.
that a
But
Snoop
there,
Dogg one?
yes, that is a
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg doggy style
I love it.
Funko Pop. So I don't
First
think many of people have got
sample.
that. That's pretty cool. Also, the other thing is the It Box, the touchscreen pub machine. I've never seen anyone else posting about that. So that's got the old.
Where'd that come from?
Do you know what, right? My daughter had a touchscreen years ago. We just wanted, it was just a cheap computer. COVID, we bought it for COVID from my wife's company or something. It was really cheap. And it was a touchscreen PC. I thought, oh, I wonder if you can play the old pub games on that. I don't know if you're. Do you remember going to the pub? You can play Monopoly. You play. There's millions of games. Put a pound in, try and win money, quiz games, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, I wonder if you can get that on that. And I forgot about it. She used it for COVID. It finally died. I thought, do you know what? I'm going to try this. So I managed, I found the community. I did really hard to do, really difficult. So yeah, and we got there in the end, and people seem to that's quite a niche nostalgia hit, I'll be honest, especially with people of a certain age, I think. And I've not seen anyone else posting about them on TikTok.
I love the because no matter what it is, I think people have always got this personal touch to their collections. And to hear stories like that is obviously fabulous. But even if it's something small, like you get like a sentimental value on things, or there's a memory of buying it, or how you bought it, or where you found it. I love hearing those stories. I just really, really do.
I don't think I necessarily have anything in here like that, if I'm honest. I mean, this is mostly, I mean, there is stuff from my childhood, like I've got turtles, I've got, whatever bits and bobs, but there's nothing necessarily item wise I don't think that I've got from my childhood. I think most of it went to the skip or went to the dump, and that was the end of that. When I moved out and had children and all the rest of it, and dad got rid of it or mum got rid of it or whatever. So I've kind of had to rebuild a lot of it.
It's a story that most of us have got, frankly.
Yeah, I know.
We're looking at buying a place soon together, and I mean, I'm lucky that I've got the space I do, and the place we're looking at buying has got a spare room, so to speak. So I'm looking at making that a bit more of a cave. But it's a thing. People don't have space. You've got to sort of prioritize things.
Exactly. I remember when we had the spare room, and I put a little setup in there, and then my daughter was born, and that was the end of that.
So you're playing in a game. And how long do you give a game before you decide to call it quits?
I'm quite stubborn with it. I'm quite, what's the, I don't mind the grind. I'll normally give it a good go. I'll give it a good couple of hours before I think, oh, I can't be arsed with this. Okay, this isn't very good. I'm not going to watch a cut scene and think, nope, not for me. Off you go. I need to give it a good go, I think. Especially if you spent money on it. Like I said, I don't spend a lot of money on games. I've bought the Precinct, which was what, 25 quid. I rent most of my games anyway. So, you know, I can just close it, send it back, and they ship me another one. But I like to give everything a good enough go before I'm normally a few missions in before I think this is either good or it's not.
Just because it's a conversation we've had recently of a few people where it's especially open world games. Do you play a lot of open world games?
I prefer open world games, I think.
Because do you, some of those you need to give 3 4 hours minimum,
Oh,
don't you?
definitely. You look at Red Dead 2. You had to traipse around in the snow for what felt like a bloody lifetime before the actual game kicked in. So, and some
Prefer.
people give up there, didn't they? Some
Oh
people put it down. Yeah.
yeah. And I've said this many times, I'm a hypocrite because I gave The Witcher 8 hours, 10 hours,
Yeah.
because I knew that coming after that was going to be the whole amount of signs and elixirs and everything. I felt like it was going to open up for me, which it did. Whereas
Yeah,
Red Dead, I
exactly.
fully appreciate it as an objectively fabulous game. I don't really, that doesn't appeal to me. So I just didn't stick with
That's the thing.
Whereas Akami is another one. I knew Akami you couldn't save for the first hour. I knew you had to get through the first hour or two to actually get involved in it. Whereas
Yeah.
Rebecca, bless her, gave up in a half hour. Find
Yeah.
our own different little bits and bobs. One of my favourite questions ever, I've asked a few people this, is what's the last game you bought on box art alone?
That's a good on box art alone. See, like I say, I've not really bought anything recently, I don't think. I'm not sure there is one unless I go way back to something like Streets of Rage, sort of, you know, Golden Axe, because some of the box art on the Mega Drive and back in the day is just unbelievable what you can do. But I don't think I necessarily
Because
I
remember the
don't
last time you was in a game store or I don't know, a Currys or somewhere that had games in it, and you were looking down the line, and
long time
that looks cool.
long time I've not I don't often frequent I've not got the time. We're I'm probably 45 minutes from a CEX, you know, a Currys, a store. We've got a Morrison's down the road, 10 minutes down the road, but that's about it. They don't sell games anymore. Supermarkets used to, didn't they? But it's kind of died off now, unless you go to a huge Tesco somewhere on off the motorway. But I don't think I've really been to a game store recently, not for a long time, I don't think, because everything is just online nowadays. It makes my life easier. If it was on my doorstep, maybe. But the fact that I've got a 45 minutes drive to go into Bournemouth, I've got to pay 12 quid to park the car. I've got to walk all the way down there. I've got to pick up. They might not have anything good. They might not have anything I want, and it's just a waste of you. By the time you put your time, your fuel, your parking, you might want to stop and get. It's not worth the aggro, if I'm honest.
Because I'm thinking about if you, even now when you're looking online and you're looking at logos or images and you're scrolling through Game Pass or something like that, and it's okay, it looks cool, like that logo looks cool, but it doesn't have the same impact on me as a tangible piece of artwork in a box would. Like it doesn't have the same shine. I can't twist it.
No,
I can't look at
yeah.
the case. I can't, do you know what I mean? I get that it's part and parcel experience now. I'm not trying to say you shouldn't do it, but I feel
Yeah.
like having a case in my hand where I can look at the back of the box and read the description. I know you get the stuff on Game Pass and everything like that. You get the descriptions and trailers and stuff, and arguably you get more because you get a trailer. But looking at the box
Yeah.
itself and getting opening it and reading the manual a little bit, and stuff, there's something to that I really
Oh,
appreciate.
definitely. You don't get a feel for it from a thumbnail, do you? That's the thing. I love physical games. As much as I say I just emulate, I do love physical games, and I much prefer physical games. And it's sad that they're dying out, I think. Especially nowadays, PS5 games have got a disc image and it tells the PlayStation to download something for 3 hours. So, you know, where will we be in in 3 generation times, if you want to play a PS5 game, what, and the servers are off, what do you do? You got everything pre-installed, or so that's a shame. But yeah, you don't get that feeling. I don't think there is maybe something I've grabbed, certainly not for a long time off the top of my head, just on the box art.
That's fair enough. It speaks volumes to the situation we're in, but then I suppose it's
Yeah,
part of it.
exactly. Yeah.
Last question then. Are you into your movies?
Yes and no. I can take them or leave them. I mean, who doesn't like movies? Who doesn't
Okay.
like movies?
So then the natural question is, what's the best video game movie?
Best video game movie. Reese, I might have to go. It's gonna ha It's such a crap answer. It's gonna have to be the latest Mario Brothers, I think, off the top of my head. But I
I
think.
had three options for you if you didn't have any answers, but it's a good shout.
Go on. What did you come up with?
The first one was Mario, the new one, because I honestly feel like the new Mario movie is awesome. I think it speaks to the multiple generations, which is quite difficult to do. I think it will stand the test of time because it's great. So there's that one. There's Detective Pikachu, which I don't think gets anywhere near enough love. It's based obviously.
Never seen it.
Ryan Reynolds is great. It's just a
Yeah.
superb thing. It shows what I want, which is more of a horror Pokemon type vibe, but it's a brilliant little movie. And the other one is just Mortal Kombat.
I don't remember watching Mortal Kombat. I definitely have. Like, I've seen the Street Fighter movie, but I definitely have. Pikachu, I've not seen it. Always pops up on your streaming service as a little, and you flick on through, and that's that. Because I'm not necessarily into I'm not necessarily into Pokemon. I know who Pikachu is. Some guys love it. Fair enough. My brother-in-law is a Pokemon mad, but it's never necessarily been my thing. I think I'm probably too old for the Pokemon thing. So I'd definitely go with the Mario movie, like you say, because it just speaks volumes. You can watch it with your mum. I can watch it with my mum, who's 75, and I can watch it with my daughter, who's 14, and everyone can get. Mum knows what Mario, because she's bought me these games for whenever it was. So yeah, I'd have to agree. And Sonic was half decent, wasn't it? It wasn't. It wasn't as good as Mario. I think the real. With it being in a real world with real people rather than Mario being the animation, I think that's why Mario gets it, I think.
I mean, there's a few options that I quite enjoy personally, but I don't think others do. But those are the ones that I would give as options to get at least give an idea of people getting a spur of ideas. All right. So move on to the last part of the podcast then, which is Creator Spotlight. So that's your chance to shout out the creators you really enjoy, or if you're not comfortable doing it, completely fine. We don't need names, but just give us an idea of the type of content you enjoy and why you enjoy it.
Like I said before, Retro Gaming Addict is unreal. Some of the content, some of the guys are churning out is unbelievable. Retro Revisit, some of the editing, he's doing this little GTA. He's in Liberty City, walking around, getting in taxis. That's unreal. We got Tom, Retro Revival. He's walking through portals and so on. And it's just so cool, some of the stuff. When it comes to that, I wouldn't know me arse from me elbow. I barely get the lighting right, and you can only just hear me in mine. So some of that stuff is so good. Dan from Gaming Rarities. Now I know I bitched about people going to sex all the time. To, here you go, I walk around sex, here you go. But Dan's got the twist on it where he collects the cardboard. He's the only person from TikTok I've met is Dan from Gaming Rarities. So I do like him. The old school gamer, she's quite new on the scene. She is really good. She's really entertaining. She's not necessarily doing anything groundbreaking. I think it's more her personality that comes across, and it's just funny. She's excited about everything she's got. She plays Mario on a SNES in her living room. She's crap at it. People jump in and take the piss, and everyone just has a laugh, and it's just got a good vibe to it. And her followers growing and growing and growing. If you need anyone on this, her. some Americans. How many of these can I do? Mal, we're beer all day.
You'll be all day.
We're beer all day. Gamer Aimer is amazing. Gamer Aimer's collection is ridiculous. I don't know if you've seen Gamerama. I was friends with her on my original account, then I got blocked and banned, and I've really recently found her again. But yeah, her just the pure stuff she's got is ridiculous. There's so many. That'll do, because I'll waffle. We'll be here for another 2 hours because I'm shouting out people. There are loads and loads of people that are all brilliant.
What is it about somebody that would entice you and engage you? Whether it's gaming, whether it's, I've said this before, whether it's crocheting or it's arts and crafts or it's farming, like what is it about someone that would keep you engaged?
Just the sense of humor. I think it's sense of humor. Make me laugh. Just make me laugh. Or just so I can, and don't be too serious. For example, there's pardon me, Retro Revival. He does a portal video or something, and at the end he's cocked it up and the edit goes wrong and he just put a little thing on screen. Just, you know, I mean, it's that kind of stuff. Don't take your stuff. All this is perfect. It looks really good. And then you get a little bit at the end that says, okay, you're going to have to watch me stand against the wall for 10 minutes because I couldn't be bothered to edit another something or other because and all this. And nobody watches the video these far normally anyway. So I just like that it's the real person, which I struggle to show as myself. I struggle with that because I don't think people care. Like I said, I get imposter syndrome. Yeah, and just have a laugh with it and enjoy it.
Do you feel like you need to have, because you said at the start that we all have the same problem where like you post a video, you feel it's got substance to it and you've got a message behind it and it's brilliantly edited and lovely. But then the video that gets the most views is a really short, sharp, ridiculous.
Yeah, it was some clip that I screen recorded off
Yeah.
YouTube and put up for 28 seconds and it went mad.
Yeah. Do you feel like if someone's doing that sort of content, I don't know how to phrase it really, but does it, do you, can you see through bullshit? Like if someone's posting it just to get views, does
Oh,
that
that's what.
entice you? Because if do you go, oh, that's a really funny video, I'll follow that person, or do you have to actually see the content regularly from that person and go and learn more about them? Do you see what I'm trying to say? Like if you scroll through TikTok and you see a video that's really funny, a short, sharp, snappy, like you
Yeah.
said, video clip of something that you think is funny, great. But do you have to then click on their profile and see a few more videos and say, oh, I like person.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. I mean, I'm not, like I said earlier, people aren't hitting the follow button. I'm the worst one for it. I don't follow enough people. I don't follow enough people back. I don't follow enough people. It's generally if it's repeating on my FYP essentially, and I think it's the retro community engaging with it seems to strike me. If I scroll up and there's a retro gaming video, and let's say 8-Bit Barber, Holly, a Super Nerd Simon, whoever I did, they're all commenting, they've all contributed, they're liking, they're reposting, they're sharing. I think that's where I find most of my stuff, rather than because I hate the things like the one thing I hate about TikTok is you'll see someone with a huge, massive account and they follow zero, and you think, I'm not going to feel a part of your community, am I, mate? You know,
I
you're
have
not
this thing.
interested.
I feel I'm cutting you off, so I apologize. But I have this thing where, so the, I won't mention the guy because it's not fair on him. I'm not trying to say he's rubbish because he's not. He's obviously had a great job. But like, there's a guy come on my TikTok page. I'm gonna say about a month ago. Gamer wants to start streaming, whatever. And his first video was like, "Oh, I've been away for a while. I've just coming back to the scene. Can we start building the community again?" Which on the surface sounds great. It's one of those like I'll tag your favorite streamers or follow creators and then we'll tag 10 sort of thing. It sounds great on the surface, but when you dig deeper, you go into his page and he's streamed 5 times a week. Follow me, I'll follow you. Da, 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 da. 200 followers that follows 2,000 followers because he's obviously been either promoting it by spending money, which more power to you, but it's not a sense of like, oh, I'm following you, so follow me type vibe. It's not anywhere near that. It's just, how many followers can I get in 2 weeks? And I hate it. It feels so shallow to me. And I'm not saying people shouldn't do it. If they want to do that, it's completely fine. And, you might get branded for what I do, and you might have more money for what I do. You might enjoy that following and everything like that. But I hate it personally.
I'm with you. Yeah, if we're going to build a community, let's build a community. I mean, on the flip side, like I say, I'm quite guilty of not following people back. You had Saturn 9 not long ago, yeah? Again, she's another one I followed on my original account when we were friends, probably when I had less than 100 followers, maybe. I don't think we ever really spoke. We've not really messaged each other or anything. It's just, passing by in the comments. But I hadn't followed her back on this account. I was like, oh God, I forgot about her. So, because like you say, it just doesn't pop up, does it? So there is following that community. The trouble is it goes from one extreme to the other. You don't follow anyone or you follow loads. I'm quite bad at it. Let's say I look at Mark's page and he's got 10,000 followers, but he's following 9,999 people. That feels to me, you've got one follower, mate.
Yeah, I get where you're
As
coming
far
from.
as I'm concerned, and that annoys me, because how are you talking to 10,000 people? I can appreciate it if you're Mr. Big Time and you've got, let's say, you've got 4 million followers, then fair enough. There's a load of things in there. You've probably got brand deals. You've got some companies. There's loads of people you're interacting. Everyone wants to talk to you, don't they? If you're Mr. Popular, so that's understandable. But yeah, that. Follow for follow, rubbish. It doesn't quite sit with me because you're not, there's no support. You're not, that back and forth. It just doesn't feel like it's there. It doesn't make it as personal to me, if you know what I mean.
Honestly, it's preaching to the choir. Like I made a joke on one of the last episodes I did that your episode 69. So if we do 70, if we do 80, if we do 100, how many episodes we do this thing? It's the nature of the beast. Someone's going to clip something somewhere and get me in trouble. It's just what it is.
You reckon?
I'm half expecting that, right? But the joke I always make is it'll be on the follow thing, because on the one hand, someone will go, yeah, but Marv, you post videos about. I'll go follow the so-and-so page all the time. But yeah, no, I do, but from a different slant. My argument is I'm not saying you have to follow them. I'm saying I actually honestly enjoy this person. If you do, go check them out.
Yeah.
There's no pressure whatsoever. So I'd hope at some point the message gets through that it's not like a I follow them, so you must do. Or if you follow me, I'm gonna automatically follow you. No, that's not how it works either. I want my FYP and my friends listing to be stuff I honestly enjoy. It just
Exactly,
happens that a lot of what I enjoy, I'll probably comment on. So I will follow. It's just part and parcel of it. But like you said there, if there's a account with 10,000 follows and sorry, followers and 11,000 following, I don't really get that.
No, me neither. I completely agree with you. I completely agree with you. And I want to interact with the people. So I'm quite, I think I'm quite, am I protect, is protective the word maybe? Not necessarily protective because I don't necessarily feel proud of my following. Because, like I said, I don't feel like I deserve it for whatever reason. I think I've just been here a while. That's all it seems to be, but
But a way of
anyway.
looking at it, and this might not be what you're saying at all, so please rebut me if you are, but if you're not, but I think the following and followers is completely opposites. So like if someone's following you'd hope that on the surface at least they're following you because they enjoy your stuff.
You think so, wouldn't you?
Right?
Yes.
What you're following yourself is stuff that you earnestly enjoy and want to stay in touch with and keep track of. You want your online consumption to be.
Yes.
That won't always marry up with
Oh
it.
no, definitely. I mean, how many times do you see your friends on the FYP? It's just bloody Jet2 fucking videos at the moment. Fucking hell. But I'm quite protective with the follow back because I want people to interact. That's the whole thing. That's why we're here. That's why I started doing the lives on the Itbox, playing the old pub games, because I want people to be involved. I can play, you can stream any game. You can watch, name a game, it's being streamed by someone somewhere and people are watching. But I like that interactive. Like if a quiz question comes up, all the viewers are typing in the answers. We're trying to get it, together as a team, and it's quite funny along the way, and there's a laugh, and this person gets in, it's a thumbs up and a high five, and we're all cheering in the comments. I think that's what I prefer, that interaction. So if someone in, let's say I say new retro gamer followed you, they think, oh okay, I'm not going straight for the follow back. I'm not going straight to their page to have a look. Let's see if they interact a couple of times. Let's see if they do like this stuff. Let's see, because I fell into, especially when I first joined TikTok, not knowing anyone, not knowing how to work, I fell into that follow train trap, if you know what I mean. And it got to about 100, and I was like, oh, mate, I'm so bored of this. I can't be arsed with this, because I thought you had to. It's the goal. Everyone's goal seems to be 1,000 followers, doesn't it? But you know what I mean? My goal is 18,000 followers. Retro Sega is 125,000 followers. You know, Yorkshire is, you know, where you'll get to 1,000, you want 2,000. And that's why we keep going, isn't it? So that's it's. And once you get to that 1,000, you think, cool, I've got 1,000 followers. I'll go live now. There'll be 1,000 people watching me. And, you know, one might scroll in and disappear. And you're sat there in your fancy with your fancy Tickfinity for your stream, and you got this and that, you got all these prompts in your Steam Deck, and you're just sat there playing on your own, like looking at the screen, hoping someone comes in, and you know what I mean? So yeah, I definitely get what you're saying. But yeah, I struggle to hit the follow back button, because I want people to interact with my content, and therefore if they like mine, I must like theirs, and you know, we go from there.
I mean, that's such a fabulous, like, fascinating conversation. Because even the whole streaming thing, like, I don't stream a lot at all. I just don't. But I mean, Rachel was saying it. Rachel Harry was saying it. Like, it's she's a pro. She does it full time. But she says it is a weird dynamic for your brain to think that you're literally relying on subs and comments and gifts and stuff. And whether it's 5, 10, 50, 1,000 people that are watching, that number will fluctuate every single time.
Yeah,
And
of course,
so naturally, in your brain, gives you highs and lows because you're following that train, that trend. And so it's a hard thing to balance out sometimes.
definitely. And the problem we've got is everyone's doing it now. How many retro gaming accounts are on there on TikTok? Like I said, you know, how many times can people show the CEX shop window, or open a game case, or you know, show the intro to Mario Kart, you know? And it's strange. And the algorithm, for whatever reason, there could be a million videos of someone popping Sonic into a Mega Drive and switching it on, but only one or two of them will have, like, you know, 2 million views. And you think, well, all these are exactly the same. Why is this person getting, you know, why is this person getting special treatment? Well, they've not done anything different to it. All these millions of people that have done the same thing again. So TikTok's heart, it's got to be luck. I'm convinced it's just luck.
And it goes back to what we were saying earlier about the whole personality and personal
Exactly.
enjoyment of it. Because I'm not saying I was bored of that sort of content, because obviously one of my first things I was known for was question videos. So I post
Yeah,
questions,
yeah.
and I love doing that. I still love doing it. I love doing it. So I love conversation. But I got to a point where I was like, I don't want to just have that, because I'll burn
No.
out. Not necessarily the numbers of people interacting with it.
Yeah.
Me, I'll burn out. So I was like, can I have that? Can I have small little game clips? Can I stream every now and then? Maybe a podcast is great. That's an extra layer. So I'm trying to add different bits and bobs on top of what I'm doing, because otherwise I will get bored. I don't want to be part and parcel of the millions that are posting CEX videos. I don't want to do it.
That's the problem I've got. Now, the videos I've been posting lately, it's normally I stand in front of the arcade, for example. I'll say, do you remember this game? I used to love this game. And it would have the game logo at the top. And even that just feels like a chore. I'm like, oh Christ, I've got to get in right. Let's do this. Hey, if you play, no, say that. Have you played? And say it 20 times. Quickly edit it, find the logo, you know, erase the background, make it look clear. Then I've got to film the thing. And then I'm like, I can't be bothered. I mean, I don't think I've posted for a week, because that content's getting stale for me. Because this was my, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with TikTok. I stopped doing it for a while. Retro Games Boss, I don't know if you follow him. What a guy. I mean, he's posting clips, and I love him to bits. I owe him a lot. Because he took over my account for a bit. I was like, mate, I can't be bothered. He's like, come on, you got such all this stuff. Why don't you? So I gave him my login, and he went, you know, for a bit, and kept me going until I was like, right, mate, let's go. I'm back to this. And now again, I started trying to do something different, and I'm already bored of it. And at the minute, I'm living off, you know, on this days, just chucking the odd one up now and again. And it's quite, what is baffling is, I don't think I've posted this week, and I checked the analytics yesterday. I think I've had 30,000 views this week without posting a single video. So it's strange how it works. And if I'm getting that many views without posting anything, then what, where's the, then why bother? Where's the, you know what I mean? What's the point of me making more of it? If I'm already getting 30K views a week, then who gives a fuck? Let's let them sit there.
Well, what's really funny about that is, obviously, as we know, I lost my page around Christmas time,
Yeah.
my first one, and that had, I forget the number now, 1600 and something followers, and it's now got more.
Yeah, I know it does.
I haven't posted since Christmas, at least. I think, how is
Have you got the account
that
back?
lower?
Have you
Yeah.
got the account back?
No.
Oh, you haven't.
So
No, I was.
the account is sat there. Like, if I had the right details for it, it would, so. I'm not sure if you
What
know.
happened with that? Were you hacked? Did it just, what's.
No, so basically, it sounds so ridiculous when you say it out loud. Basically, I had this account I was using regularly, as normal. One day on my phone, as most apps do, it needed an update. So I press the app. I'll TikTok needs an update. Google Store, da, da, da. Does the update, logs me out. No dramas. Get the app back on. Sign in. It generated for me a completely brand new empty account, like. It's just whatever. So I was like, well, okay. So I signed out, signed back in again, same account. I said, well, what the fuck comes up? Like, why? Long story short, it had separated my details from my account. I mean, I don't know if that even makes sense or not, but that's basically what happened. So I was trying to message TikTok all the time because my laptop had on the browser, cookies are great, had the thing signed in. So everything I was posting on the account after that moment was on my laptop. I was like, I'm not using this to do videos. I'm not doing it. It's
Too much of a
horrendous. And
faff.
then after 30 days, because my phone wasn't signed in, it would sign out anyway on my laptop. So I couldn't sign in anyway. So I was like, what am I doing here? And the thing is, every time I messaged TikTok and said, like, no, this is quite clearly me. Quite clearly me. Just give me access again. Oh, we can't do any proof of access. So it's me, man. What do you want me to do? I can't,
Yeah,
you know, and
they
it.
did. TikTok get a lot of stick down that, like, for that, didn't they? They don't seem to care,
I mean,
really.
I'll say this out loud now. It's shit. It's rubbish. The TikTok's count helper thingamajig was rubbish. Didn't help me one
Oh
bit.
shit! It's
So I
all
had a
shit.
point where I was like, do I just quit now because I'm burnt out of it, or do I start a new page? And actually, starting a new page is good because it mean I remembered why I did it in the first place.
Yeah,
It's,
and
you know,
it's that fresh start, isn't it?
yeah.
I'm sure you signed back in and followed Retro Reveal, the Yorkshire Gamer, JPS, and it's just a fresh,
Yeah.
Plus, you haven't. I think where the algorithm doesn't know what to expect from you, and it gives you that little fresh new
Yeah.
start, which can be nice at times as well.
Yeah. It just took away the whole numbers thing for me. I was like, I wasn't chasing numbers beforehand, but it just reminded me, content's content. Do it for the fun of it.
I need to have a rethink and see what I can do something, because there's so much stuff I'd love to talk about and want to talk about. But again, like I said, the problem we've got is I can darts. I love playing darts. I'll come home from work, I'll have a couple of beers, I'll put the music on, and I'll play darts for 2 hours on my own against someone online or whatever. But anytime if I post anything darts, because this page is retro gaming rather than the man cave that I wanted it to be, it doesn't, nobody really sees it. Like you say, I started a new account, which was a darts account, for a month, and it jumped up to like 3,000 followers. And now I was like, oh, I can't be bothered with this. I can't be asked. And like you say, it's still getting followers now. Every so often I look at it and you've got 30 new followers. I've even put on there, stop following this page, I'm not posting anymore, But that's where I'm stuck. I need to get, especially the man cave stuff, because it's so difficult to do the man cave stuff and stay within the man cave niche. Because, like I say, if I film a picture of the man cave, like, oh, look, I like your consoles, what games you got? And you're replying to a comment with a video and you're going, hey, here's all my games, or the arcade, or I've got the pub quiz machine jobbing, and like, oh, have you played? And it's hard, and you get pushed and pulled in different directions, and you get sucked into the niche, which I seem to have done, which I'm not complaining about. But yeah, it's hard to stay on that kind of, that kind of vibe. Because the man, some of the man cave bartender, what a legend. What a, you may not have seen his stuff because he's not in the community, but just some unreal stuff and some of the man cave stuff. But a lot of it is just a camera around the room and playing some funky viral song. And I don't think I want to do that either. I think I need to get the personality across, but I'm not sure what or where that sits and whether the algorithm accepts that due to the content I've been doing before that has been successful, if that makes sense.
Makes complete sense, but it
Yeah.
also leads me on to my favorite question of all time, which is flip it. Why should someone be following you?
You shouldn't. What are you doing? This is honestly, Marv, I think this is crap. I can't. What have you got me on for? This honestly, mate, I don't understand it. I don't understand the popularity. I'm so when I do lives, people send me gifts on lives. I'm so embarrassed. I'm like, what are you doing? Stop doing that. Honestly, I don't want your money. How do I turn this off? How do I send it back? How do I do all this thing? It's strange. If I go doing a live and 100 people come in, like my back sweating, I'm trying to read, trying to keep up. I'm like, whew. I'm dyslexic. I'm dyslexic as well, right? Which isn't too bad nowadays. When I was a kid, it was awful. But now I'm, in my early 40s, and I'm there or thereabouts. But I would certainly struggle with, let's say, unknown place names, for example, that I'd never heard of before. That's where I struggle with nowadays. So trying to do all that, trying to read the comments, trying to get not look like an idiot at my old age, struggling to read something or other. Yeah, just honestly, it just makes me sweat. And but on the flip side of that, you end the live and it'll go, oh, you've gained 37 followers. You're like, okay.
So
So
you sit there and you say, you don't know why someone's following you and whatever,
no,
and
no idea.
do you not think you just described it though?
Possibly. What people
You
like
sat there
my
and
sweaty armpits when I tell them not to send gifts and get all embarrassed. That might be a
you
different
but you
niche.
aren't pissed, but other than that, mate. No, I was gonna say, if you said about like, oh, I don't know why someone follows me and
No, I don't get it.
but then you also said we've also said beforehand that we don't like falseness or forced whatever. People always say, oh, I like real people. I like authenticity. Well, yeah. But then you've literally just sat there and described that you are one of the most like relatable people ever, surely. You get nervous on lives. You don't understand why people are sending you gifts. You get burnt out on content, but then you find a new lease on it. And then
Yeah.
we all go through that. You're just great at displaying it. Because you're not trying to do anything different.
Possibly. I
You
mean,
become
I guess
a person on the app, surely.
maybe so. I mean, on live, the thing is, on lives, there's nothing you can do about it, is there? Unless you're going to end it there and there. This shit's happening. You're here. I'm the one that's pressed the live button. This is what we're here for. So that when it's all a bit car crash and going a million miles an hour, it's easier for to not be an act. Like I just said, I am dyslexic. Sometimes it's difficult to, spell a huge big word like that because of the way I'm wired, I guess. Let's say some location in the Sahara Desert or a weird obscure insect or something or whatever it might be, And you don't get time to be fake. I don't get time to go, let's say I don't get time to pretend I'm not dyslexic, for example. I don't get time to pretend I'm not embarrassed by people sending me gifts. Like people have sent me stuff in the past. Like I said, I had Dan from Game and Rarities came round. He gave me a copy of what did he give me? Ghostbusters on the Mega Drive. I mean, I just get shy from all that, and it's really strange to think, whilst I don't want to sound like a twat. Might be a bit late for that. But it's strange that 17K seems to be a lot of followers nowadays when you look at some of the other big creators, such as your Retro Bytes, your Retro Segas, your Yorkshire Mikes, your whoever it may be. And it's strange because I get messages from people saying, oh my God, why have you followed me? You've got this many followers. And you think it honestly doesn't mean a thing. I'm struggling like you're struggling. I might repost your thing of yours and I think yours is good and make sure you remember the little people when you make it kind of dig. So like you say, on the live, I think it's much easier for it to come naturally because you haven't got 2 seconds to think about it. You film a video, you watch the video back 4 times while you're trying to edit it, and you're like, no, I don't like that. What an idiot. Just here's me putting Need for Speed in the Xbox quickly.
I mean, on the whole editing thing, that's my trick. Other than putting a bit of text in about what the video's about and putting the videos back to back that I've recorded, I
Yeah.
don't edit. I don't edit. I might put captions on because, I mean, obviously I do edit. I'm taking a piss, but I don't want to spend hours just. I'm not changing the light shading. I'm not doing all that. I can't.
No.
And I think that's that you said about the lies, but that's partly why I particularly do follow you because you are. You've got a real balanced approach to it all. You're not like prioritizing the fluff of it all. What you post,
No.
it's got a real vibe to it. So I've always appreciated that. And you said about the follow count. Okay, yeah, follow counts don't necessarily matter, I suppose, because someone can have 50K and whatever. But it matters in a sense of your 17K, for example. Retro Sega's 120, whatever he's got. Yorkshire's 10, 8-bit's 12, is he now? Me.
Yorkshire's about, what's Yorkshire? About 80, isn't he? A Yorkshire?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, my bad. But whatever they are, right?
Well, yeah.
They aren't empty. Do you know what I mean? Like it's you've built this organically. I mean, you might have.
Well, that's true.
And so the followers that you've are actually earnest followers. They do engage. It's not like
Yeah,
you've
I guess
got.
so.
I mean, the most extreme example, I guess, would be someone that's got, I don't know. They follow 1,000 people, but they've pressed TikTok promote 25 times and they've got 50K followers. But a lot of them are bots or they're
Oh
from
yeah, can I just say, I don't know if you cut this out. We've been talking forever, Marv. I'm sorry to keep you.
No.
Don't use TikTok promote. Nobody should be using TikTok promote. It is terrible. Once you use it once, they suppress your views. They want you to pay more money. You get more views organically. Don't force it. Plus, people that struggle with views, because 1 minute you're in 200 view jar, the next minute it's bang, and you've never seen anything like it, and you get the buzz from it. So please do not use TikTok promote because it is absolute toilet. Unless a company, in some cases, I've had companies wanting, if I'm promoting a product, they will give me a boost of views for so much and so on. But yeah, TikTok promote is terrible. I've had it. I used it once a while ago, especially if your views are getting low, I've noticed. My views will get low for a few days and it will be, I can hit 1,000 a video, which isn't too difficult for me, yeah. And you notice them drop to about 200 and the next one will drop to 200. Then all of a sudden you'll be scrolling through and your video will come up and go, suggesting promotion. TikTok thinks you should put, and it's not worth it. Just ride the low views wave. You'll come out the other side. It's not, honestly, it's such a waste of money. It doesn't do what you want it to do. And they don't necessarily put your videos out to the people you want to put them out to.
I'm behind your message because it's a slippery slope and it costs a lot of money, really, to be honest with you, when you
Exactly.
look at it.
Where does it end? And expect, people get annoyed by ads. If it says ad in the bottom left corner, you're like, no, see you later. People aren't hitting the follow nowadays. So why are you trying to reach people that aren't interested, that aren't going to, interact? And ads get a lot of hate, don't they? Especially on TikTok. So yeah, frustrating. I know it's frustrating.
I mean, it goes back to that message I had a minute ago about your being a founded, substantiated follow, because you've got 17K, let's say, but of the 17K, the vast majority of that is stuff that they're actually following you for you, and that's a really important thing because it's not like they're just random follower in there. They actually are following you for something they really enjoy. And that's a strong thing there. Before we finish the podcast. I always do this. Is there anything you want to finish with?
No, I don't think so. I feel like we chatted for ages. I can't believe I kept you so long waffling on. See, this is what I mean. You must be bored of me already. This is what I get like. But no, I don't think so, mate. I appreciate you having me on. I'm very happy to be number 69. I will wear that. With, do I get like a badge? Do I get a Marv's I've been on Mars podcast badge or something? That would be lovely. You should start doing them.
I recorded with Arevia and she was like, "I'm so upset." I was like, "Why?" Because I should have been 69.
Really?
I'm so sorry. I
If I'm
can't.
not 69, so what was I listening to? I can't remember which one it was, but you said this is episode 65, and on Spotify it said 66 or something. It did. It hadn't quite. I guess you must have uploaded the other one before. And so if I'm not 69, I'm going to be crossed.
No,
But
it's
yeah.
definitely 69. That's what I'm going with anyway. That's been
But
tremendous.
no.
You said about keeping, yeah? Should we do another hour?
Can
I'm
do, mate.
all good
I've got nothing to do till 4 o'clock. So you tell me.
that. No, man, it's all good. I was excited for this one because I was like, it's interesting when people have got, I mean, follow accounts are the wrong phrase entirely, but I mean, it's like there's a follow account there that's it's bigger than most, let's say. But getting to talk to those people is fascinating to me because they've always got a different view that you expect. Not in terms of like, oh, they're arseholes, but I mean, you see the real person behind it. Like Retro Sega is the perfect example. To me, if you're a small creator, because I've been there, I am there, you look at someone like Retro Sega, 100K follows. He must be rolling in it. I mean, I'm taking a piss now. Must be rolling in it. Must be like part of the Illuminati group at the top of the app. Like, but you chat to him, he's just like you.
Do you
And
know what?
yeah.
Yeah, that's the best thing about TikTok. So, me and Retro Sega have followed each other for years. On account one, he followed me, and I looked at his account. I don't. He was. It was still big, but I reckon it was 50, 60K maybe the following. And he's just a lovely, normal, nice bloke. And you get that. Oh my God, he's got this many followers, don't you? And you think he must be. And although I could pick up the phone and text Dylan now, I worry about bothering those people. That's my trouble. I don't want to. Sorry to bother you, mate. I know you've got 50K followers, and your inbox must be completely full. But I appreciate the follow back, and I like this, and I like that kind of deal. So yeah, a lot of people they are. It's nice that they're down to earth and they're humble with it, because some people are dicks, aren't they? Some people got a big following and they're just dicks. And I don't understand how they get such a big following just from being a dick.
I
So.
have this thing, just to jump in on that point. I have this thing where, because someone mentioned Kale, the creator Kale. And I'm not saying he's a dick. I don't know the guy at all. I'm not saying that one bit. But the reputation he's got is he's like this elitist TikToker that does out for himself and he's out to make money and whatever. And it's obvious. But for that reason, I want him on the podcast because I want to get that opinion from his side.
That's
I want to
true.
have that conversation of like, what is it like to have the mindset of you are making money off of this? That's your job. Like a lot of us aspire to have that in some cases. It must come with the pitfalls of people then looking down on that in a way or on taking away from it because you seem like this. I don't know what the word is really, but do you know what I mean? I want those conversations, those tough chats, because I think it's important for people to hear that. I can't imagine Kale set out to be a dick. And again, I'm not saying he is, but as soon as you start making money or you get a following, the assumption is you're an arsehole. And that shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, not that
It's hard, isn't
the
it?
trouble I yeah yeah t stop that press that record stop the recorders a minute mate and we're so the problem I've got is I've seen lately I don't know I've never heard of this Kel bloke till recently and there's been was it someone I think it was Revival replied to a comment saying you're just trying to be Kel and then there was another Retro Beans, is it Kyle?
Kyle, yeah.
Maybe that he's like, oh, you're just trying to be Kel. And I was like, who the fuck who's this fucking Kel bloke? I've never heard of him in my life.
Yeah.
And I don't understand the what's annoying is I don't know how he's built his. I don't know anything about the guy building his community because it's pretty safe to say that the likes of you and I and whoever else you would have had 68 times before me. We all roll in the same circles. That's the way. This is what it's got to now. TikTok. If there's a TikTok retro games guy, most of us know him, don't they? Most of them have talked to him, chatted to him. They've been seeing each other's video. They jumped into the lives. You know, they've known him for a while. So I don't know who really who he is or how he built his community. And for his followers to see someone like Revival or someone like Kyle's content and say, oh, you're just copying this bloke. It's quite frustrating, isn't it, from a point of view as well. This is the fucking community, mate. This is what we're doing. It's another thing is it's almost like it annoys me when people steal a community. That pisses me off. For example, there's, they post about being a DJ, they get 100K views. That stops getting that, you know what I mean? They get that they've been there used to be some personal trainer, they got 30K views, and now all of a sudden they've walked into CEX and that video's got 2 million views because they got such a huge follow. That's and then they switch everything up. I mean, people do what they like. People don't give a shit what I think in my fucking garage. It's just frustrating when you see people that have put in the time and put in the grind to get where they are in the community they have and do the content, the collections, and what have you, for someone outside of that just go, oh yeah, I'll start posting about me Nintendo now to me 12 million followers. Not 12, that's a bit dramatic, isn't it? But you know what I mean? To my 100K followers that used to like me because I did lip syncs in COVID and got one lucky video and everyone hit the follow. You know, that's what frustrates me. I've not seen this guy. Did you say Kale? Is that how you
Yeah,
say it?
he's a and I'm, full clarity for the listeners in particular, I'm only using Kale because he's the most high profile of this ilk I can think of, where like he was I think a personal trainer before, and he's got, I forget what his other business is, but he's a really big gamer. There's no denying that whatsoever. He's got like lists of games he's played this year. He's a massive gamer, as big as anybody else, but he gets a lot of stick because it's obvious he's doing it for a business. He's
So
posted.
he was a personal trainer, was he?
Yeah, he still
That was a
is.
good guess.
And it's like a case of like, because I like to give people a fair shake, right? And if you see someone that's posting videos that's doing it as a business, it's hard to then, for me anyway, to grasp that and get involved with that, because it's quite clear what he's doing it for. But then at some point there is that phase of like, no, he's making money, it's fine. Like, it's not his fault that he posts a video about Kuon and that video gets 1 million views and he gets X
Oh
amount of
no,
money.
of course not. Of course
No.
not. I mean, I don't necessarily know the guy. I might have to go and have a look, to be fair. Not that he gives two
Well,
shits
because
who I
he,
am, but
to me, he's got this thing where he's, let's
what
say,
does he post? Right, just
he put a video out recently on his trip to CEX. People will say, oh, how do you have so much time to do this? He's like, well, so his next video is a reply video, which a lot of us do. This in different ways, a reply video, which basically was him saying, look, I'm currently in CX right now replying to this video. I get 4 hours a day sometimes. I'll come into CX for 4 hours, record three or four videos, and I'll edit them. Then I can then monetize those by this, and this. And it makes sense to me. I get it. But people still go, but you're still making money off the hobby. It's like, yeah, but we'd love to all do that, surely. So I want to see the juxtaposition of views on that, because I'm like, well, why should this guy loves his games? He plays, he's got a massive collection. He's got this big like Excel spreadsheet of games he's completed this year and whatever. He preserves everything lovely. So there's a gamer there. It's not his fault he's making money. I don't think he should be punished for
No. I don't
making a
think
business
to be.
model out of it.
No, I don't think so either. I think that's unfair to, for him to get. We're all, if we could all do that for a job, we would, wouldn't we?
If I could go into CX today and spend 4 hours in there, come home, do some basketball stuff, and then post videos, I would love my life.
Yeah, no, I can't blame the guy for that. To be fair, I've not seen too much of his content. I don't know the toxicity of some of his followers, maybe that jump into genuine retro creators, like, was he a so had he did he have was he a retro gamer that built his account, or was he a personal trainer that had massive and switched up?
I don't know the full story. I'm not entirely sure
No.
what retro gamer is a completely fair term either. I think he's just a gamer that likes his stuff. Because I don't know if he has like, he hasn't got like Ataris and Commodores and that. I think he's just got his PlayStation stuff. But PS2, PS1s he loves. And he's obviously, he loves his CX trips with his Dreamcast and everything. But I think he was a personal trainer that had a full-time business that is just a gamer on the side, and he's monetized that by making TikTok content like pickups and showcase videos.
Fair play. I don't mind. Fair play. I mean, like I said, I do. It does annoy me when some people go, and steal the community, so to speak. But it doesn't sound like that's what he's doing. I've not necessarily. I don't think I've seen too much. Like I said, apart from coming in and some people having a go at, some of the actual, some of the big community we got on here, saying that everyone's copying him. But and then I guess, if he's getting so many views and he's got so many followers, then surely his content are going to get some people that might not necessarily see or watch or look for retro content. It might well pop up on their FYP. They interact with that, and then Revival pops up or Kyle pops up, and so you don't know, do you? Especially kids nowadays. That could be something like 12-year-old kid going, "Oh, you're funny. You're copying that prank."
Yeah,
So, and
but then
it is what it is.
the internet now is a copy fest. We all
Of course
do
it is. There's nothing's
it.
original.
Yeah, we all do it.
Yeah, exactly. Like we said before about opening a Mega Drive game, and how many people are doing that on TikTok?
Oh yeah, I know.
So, have you reached out to him? Is he not having it? Have you?
So this is a bit. Yeah, well, I've emailed him. If that helps. I don't think he'll do it personally. I don't think it's part of his like his thing. But I. This podcast for me is a case of having conversations. And I've said before, I'll say again, there'll be people that come on here that I don't agree with. Whether it's a full thing or whatever it is, maybe parts where I don't agree with, that's fine. No drama whatsoever. For example, it can be anything from you tell me right now that you love the joke one, Metal Gear more than Splinter Cell, right? I don't agree with that. We have banter about it, it's fine. Or it can be like, oh, my view on the industry is this. Business model suits the consumer. I don't agree. Then we can battle it out a bit more and have more. But it's productive debate. It's not like you're wrong, I'm right, or whatever. I like those conversations. So that has to be a good place to have a platform. With him, it's a case of finding out his point of view on where he sits in the world in gaming and why he gets so much hate or whatever. Because that just brings another light, another
Does
angle.
he get a lot of hate? Does he get a lot of hate then?
But hate's probably a strong term. I probably wrong phrase to use, but I just mean he gets a lot of backlash. People take the mickey because I'm not taking the mickey, but people get annoyed because he posts stuff that makes money, basically.
We do. I've posted stuff. I was in the creator fund. So, I was until I got kicked out twice. Fuck you, TikTok. But some months, you can make 200 quid. Whereas, that's not paying the bills. Let's be honest, it's a little bit of beer money here and there. But, I don't think I have a problem with it. We'd all do it for a job if we could. If you could be a podcast full time and you're the next Joe Rogan and everyone goes, "Oh, Marv's a prick, he's sold," then you're not going to give two shits, really, are you?
Because because the last thing I say on KO, which is really funny, is because this is another thing. I quite enjoy sarcasm and satire. Because I mean, he said about Kyle earlier. Yeah, Retro said about that. A Revival said about that. And he posted a video next time Kyle did take this out of the format. I loved it. But so this whole Kuon thing, you know the game Kuon on PS2? You might not. It's really rare, really expensive, like 500, 600 quid.
Oh, Christ.
He went and bought it in CEX.
Okay.
Kale did, went and bought it in CEX. And everyone's like, oh, the fact you can afford it's taking the piss, like you shouldn't be making money. But then every video after that, because someone had said to him, you're an arsehole for buying that, like stop showing off you've got money, he'd put a video out about the Dreamcast and CEX being cheaper than what it was last week. I don't know, I'm picking something random. But then he'd have a really quick little clip in the video saying, and as you can see, Kuon didn't decrease in price. And then he go back to the Dreamcast. I love that kind of shit because it's like, take the piss out of me, I'll take the piss out of you.
Yeah,
Like, just
and
because I bought this thing, don't mock me for it. I love it. That was so good.
but also that's him being clever because he knows people will react. He's hooking them in. That's what it is. You get more comments on and TikTok on views from triggering people than you do being Mr. Happy Go Lucky. So, fair
He
play. I
must have
don't.
mentioned that Q1 thing about 10 times after that minimum.
Yeah, no, fair play, I guess. I mean, if we could do it, we all would, wouldn't we? I certainly would.
All right, this has been tremendous, my friend. I've honestly super enjoyed it. It's been amazing for me. And I hope that everyone listening to has enjoyed it too. I'll end it here. You've been episode 69, and I'll catch everybody on the next one.